to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn from the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Greg McQueen. Greg is a screenwriter, novelist, and micro-publisher at Big Bad Media. He organised the 100 Stories for Haiti and is currently organising the 50 Stories for Pakistan, where all proceeds go to charities helping in these regions. So welcome, Greg.
Hi, Joanna. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, great to have you. So you're in Denmark, I'm in Australia. It's a truly international show today.
It is.
So maybe you could start by telling us a bit about you and your background. So how did you get into writing and publishing?
Well, I got into writing very, 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 very early on, actually. My dad was a writer, so the idea of being a writer wasn't something that I really had to leap into. It's kind of part of the family, so to speak. And he was quite a successful TV writer in the UK. So I started out wanting to do kind of film and television, really. I went to film school. Well, when I left school, I started acting, and then I moved on and went to film school, and then that's where I really started writing while I was at film school. And then I left film school, and, like most film school students, you kind of leave film school thinking that you're just going to kind of walk into the most amazing job ever. And of course, you know, the reality kicks in, and you really have to struggle to find work. So I managed to get some work at various kind of news TV channels and stuff. And that was my day job for a while. And then, of course, my job outside of that was to actually begin writing and pushing myself as a writer. And then my first break came in, when was it, 1999, actually. I wrote three episodes of a children's science fiction series called Life Force, which went out on children's ITV in the UK, and it went out around Europe as well. So that's really my background. It's really kind of film and TV, and then I've written some children's TV, and now in 2000 I moved to Denmark. And once again, that was kind of starting all over again. I was having to get to know the film and TV industry here in Denmark, which is quite small compared to a lot of other places. And I managed to meet some producers who wanted to make a children's film. And I pitched them an idea for a children's film that I wanted to do. And we've actually been working on that for the last 4 or 5 years. And we should be filming next year. Fingers being crossed. So they're actually getting the last kind of finances in place, right now, and then we'll be filming next year. So that's kind of my background, really. It's very up and down, I guess, but I think it's the same way for most writers. You have these periods where you're very busy writing, and then you have these periods where you're writing on your own time, and you're very busy trying to promote yourself and do other things.
Wow. So yes, you've been all over the place with your career then. So now you're a micro publisher. So what does that mean for people who might not know?
Well, I guess really it's a fancy word for saying I've decided to be a publisher, and it's me, and it's I have some people helping me, of course. I have a writer, David Robinson, who's he's written a few novels. And he's involved in Big Bad Media. He's kind of reading manuscripts and doing bits and bobs, kind of a little bit freelance, so to speak. But really, being a micro publisher, I guess it's just a fancy way of saying, okay, I've decided to become a publisher, and it's just me. I'm not some kind of big organization with a fancy office somewhere or anything like that. It's just me deciding to use some of the contacts and skills that I've kind of built up particularly in the last couple of years with producing 100 stories for Haiti and a few other things. So I've got to know a lot of people doing that, of course. So just a decision, really, just for me to turn and say, okay, I'm going to start publishing stuff now. And it's just me. I'm not a big organization. I'm a micro publisher.
I guess that's what's amazing with, you know, today's technology and the internet is anyone can do what you're doing. And, you know, I'm an independent author, so, I just publish my own stuff, but you're basically publishing other people's. So let's just talk a bit about, I was interested in your, you know, your Twitter handle says, we make media, not we publish books. So I wondered where you think stories fit in today's multimedia society. Is it about multimedia or stories, you know, where are stories now?
Well, part of that came from the fact that my like I said earlier, my background is in film and TV, so I realized I can use some of that in my kind of publishing, what I'm doing publishing wise, because of course, you know, nowadays, you know, when you put a book out, you're kind of half expected to have a book trailer. You might, like you do yourself, you might want to produce a podcast. These days, it's not a huge stretch to be able to produce your own audiobook as well if you invest in a little bit of equipment. So I have found, and also, you know, you have ebooks and things like that. And of course, you know, with an ebook, you have the text of the book itself, but you could also include video and audio and pictures. And so I really think that the way that it is going, it is turning in, you know, producing a book is turning into a multimedia kind of endeavor rather than just, you know, a book that sits on a shelf that's very static. It's, you know, nowadays, you know, you can, if you go on the iTunes store, you know, a lot of books now are available as iPhone apps, and you can download them and you can listen to them. You know, you can read them, you can listen to the audiobook, you can watch any kind of, video or audio trailers that are linked with how that book was produced. And so I think it very much is becoming a multimedia experience, actually, with books these days, rather than just a printed book that sits on your shelf once you've finished reading it.
Mm. Oh, it's interesting you raise the iPhone apps, because I recently bought I guess it was a month or so ago, I bought Philip Pullman's Good Man, Jesus and the Scoundrel Christ, something like that. Yeah. And the reason I bought it on the iPhone is because it had videos of him talking about the book, and it cost probably $10 more than the actual book, because it had videos of the author, which makes it, I guess, more valuable. So do you think that authors considering making money online need to consider multimedia, as you can actually charge more for that type of thing?
I think there is a little bit of a difference. For example, you know, with something written by Philip Pullman, of course, you would pay extra to actually see an interview with him about how he wrote the book and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I think maybe with an indie author who's kind of, you know, out there to try and make a name for themselves, you know, I think those extras you would offer kind of more as a value pack to what you're doing rather than actually charging extra. And then I think, you know, once you build up your fan base and you have, you know, a certain following online, then of course you can probably start charging for those extras. So I think to begin with, those kind of multimedia extras that you can include, I think they're great for actually getting people hooked and interested in your writing in the first place without perhaps maybe charging extra to access them. Mm. And then of course later on, you know, once you've kind of built up an audience, then of course, you know, I think it makes sense to maybe start charging a little bit extra for those. Because people are more, you know, people are a lot more interested in what you have to say because they're, you know, because they're already a fan of your work. Whereas, you know, I think to begin with, you're wanting to win fans. So if they feel like they're getting a good deal with, you know, the book and an interview with the author and a book trailer and maybe whatever else, you know, you can throw in there, then, you know, that really, I think, makes it appealing for people who are, Not just avid readers, but I think there's also a big industry now for writers themselves to actually support each other, and get to know each other through these different forms of media. You know, for example, you know, I'd be very interested in reading, you know, I'd be very interested in going online and reading a blurb for a book that sounds interesting that I just find on iTunes or somewhere like that on Amazon or elsewhere. And if I saw there were some extra kind of features with an interview with the author and stuff, and that would definitely kind of swing me towards, wanting to buy it a bit more. Because I'd get an insight into how that author actually went about doing what they're doing. So I think that's, for me, that's for an indie author, I think that's probably the best approach to start with, is to actually offer these extras, just as extras rather than charging for them to begin with.
Absolutely. Okay, so I guess as a micro publisher and a new micro publisher looking to make a business, how are you going to choose the projects you want to work with?
Well, initially I've kind of partnered up with writers that I kind of knew. David Robinson, for example, I'm publishing his book Voices, and I read an initial draft of that about a year and a half ago, because we knew each other through a couple of kind of online writing forums. And like I said, I'd read his novel about a year and a half ago, and then, when I made the decision that I wanted to start publishing people's work, I actually approached David and said, "Have you got a publisher for that novel yet? Because I'd really like to help you with it." And he hadn't at that stage, so we decided to kind of hook up and discussed, all the various different things that we could do to actually get it to publication. So, I mean, he's done loads. I mean, he's recorded the whole book as an audiobook. Done kind of a background documentary just in audio about, because it's all about, he writes kind of ghost stories and things all about the supernatural. So he's done like a little mini documentary that goes with the book, about this particular book's a little bit about this thing called remote viewing, which is people being able to see places just in their mind. So they're able to kind of send themselves somewhere else. So he's done kind of a whole documentary about how the CIA have used remote viewing to kind of spy on people, and how remote viewing is kind of developed over the years. And like I say, he's also recorded the whole book as an audiobook, and we're also working on a couple of other kind of multimedia type projects around the book, as well as, of course, publishing the book itself. So that was one author, and then another author, Trevor Belshaw. He's been doing this thing called Tracy's Hotmail, which is completely different. It's a comedy. It's kind of a, do you remember the old kind of Carry On films? It's a little bit of that kind of humour, and he's actually been writing those on his blog. He's been posting his novel on his blog for quite a long time, and he's built up quite a following for it. And then he was looking for a publisher, and of course we'd known each other online for quite some time. He's published in 100 Stories for Haiti as well. He's got a story in there. And again, I approached him and said, "Well, why don't we do this as an audiobook? And why don't we publish it, and then we'll publish it as an ebook as well?" And he'd actually just got an ebook publisher involved, and it came out as an ebook. But now he's actually he's decided to go with Big Bad Media for the ebook as well now. So we're working on the ebook version of Tracy's Hotmail. But again, he'd started out doing that, posting it on his blog. So he's already kind of built up quite a good fan base for what he's doing.
And I mean, you're also doing the audiobook version of Time Splash by Graham Storrs, who's been on the podcast and is a kind of online friend of mine. But what's interesting about the authors that you're talking about is they are all obviously doing stuff themselves already. They're doing audiobooks, they're doing videos and things. So I hope you don't mind me asking this, but why do they need a publisher? What are you offering them as a micro publisher that they can't do themselves?
Well, I mean that's the big question, really. I mean, yes, you can do all these things yourselves. There's so many different avenues for an author to follow these days. You can get videos online, you can publish, audiobooks to a certain degree on your own. I mean, one of the barriers with audiobooks, for example, if you want to get an audiobook on iTunes, pretty much the only avenue that you can go at the moment is through audible.com. And to be able to actually become an audio producer for audible.com, you have to have produced 5 audiobooks. So that immediately becomes something worthwhile when I turn around to an author like David Robinson and say, well, if we produce an audiobook together for your novel, and I'm producing an audiobook with Trevor, and we're also producing an audiobook with Graham as well, and another author, Emma Newman, she's kind of involved as well. She's got her own little recording studio, and she's been recording stuff. So from that point of view, we're kind of teaming up to be able to put together enough kind of books to be able to publish on audible.com, for example, because you can't just publish a single book. You have to go to them with at least 5 books to begin with. And then there's also the technical side as well. For example, David started recording his book as an audio book, but he went out and bought, you know, a microphone that cost him, you know, maybe £20, something like that. And then he started recording. And then when I got involved, I actually turned around to him and said, well, you're doing an amazing job. It sounds really good. But if we're going to actually sell this as a professional audio book, then we need to kind of up the technical side. So what I was able to bring to the table, so to speak, with David was my kind of background as a filmmaker, being able to bring my technical knowledge into being able to produce a decent piece of sound. So it's really, I guess what I'm doing with setting myself up as a micro publisher is actually offering my kind of background, my skills in being able to produce these kind of multimedia projects in a more professional way, rather than kind of a, you know, although you can do these things yourself at home, you know, if you're actually going to start selling them and earning money at them, then they need to be a certain technical level, and that's certainly something I know I can kind of bring to the table with my background and also some of the equipment I have and things like that.
That great answer there, absolutely brilliant.
A bit long, maybe.
No, I think that's wonderful. And one question that sort of springs to mind for me is, you have this background in TV and film. Now, many of us writers, you know, would obviously love to have, you know, books optioned for movies, and obviously lots of books get optioned and not many get made. But would you sort of move into being some kind of agent for trying to get books optioned, for example?
It is in my mind, to be honest, but I know from my own experience from having a screenplay produced. We first started that project about 5 years ago, and we're only just looking to film next year, so that's going to be 6 years in the making, so to speak. So I think for an indie author to be, you know, unless you're a really, really successful author, it's a different ball game altogether. But as an indie author, thinking about maybe having your book optioned as a film, it's completely possible. There are a lot of companies out there. If you send them your book and they like it enough, then they'll probably will offer you some kind of option agreement on it. But you need to be prepared that it's going to take a long time. These things do take a long time. You know, like I say, with my project, it's taken about 5 years to go from initial idea to, I think it took us about 2 years to get the script to a place where we thought it was okay to start sending it out to different places who could finance the project. And even then, you know, the script has you know, been developed a lot more. It's been translated into Danish as well. I originally wrote it in English, and we've translated it into Danish now, so it's kind of changed a lot again. But the biggest thing for me is that it, you know, you can go out and find, you know, film companies who would be interested. They're always looking for good stories and good projects, but you have to be prepared that it's going to take a long time to actually kind of get it off the ground. It's probably equally as hard as trying to find, you know, an agent or a publisher for your novel, actually. So it's something you really need to be prepared to, you know, put some time into doing. and have a lot of passion about it, not just something that you feel, you know, that you can do on the side and get a company interested and, you know, you'll make a lot of money at it. It really has to be something that you're committed to, and it really will take a long time to you know, to get it from manuscript to screen, to be perfectly honest.
No, but I know there's a lot of people interested in that. And I don't know anything about it at all, so sorry for asking you another question on it. But where
That's all
would
right.
people go, you know, if people are really interested in this topic, where is a good place to start researching that type of thing? Is there a portal place or anywhere or a blog or anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's one website that's worth kind of hanging out at is, and I haven't been there for a while actually, but I was quite an active member at one point. There's a website called Shooting, it's called Shooting People, I believe, which is
That's great. I like that.
and that's kind of a community of indie filmmakers, I guess you would call it. Like I say, I haven't been there for a while, so I don't know. I don't know how the website is now, but certainly when I was there, it was kind of just a big forum for indie filmmakers. And there was actually, I think once a week they would send out like a newsletter to all the members with pitches in it, so writers could actually kind of put forward their own pitches for projects and see if you know, filmmakers would be interested in doing it. So that's one place that you might want to go. There's Shooting People, and then there's a few other kind of websites like that as well. And then another place to look, certainly in the UK, there's a book called The Knowledge, which comes out every year, which is kind of like, which is kind of like a writer's an artist's yearbook, but for filmmakers. And that lists, and I think you can actually search it online for free, actually. But that lists every single film production company, certainly in the UK anyway. And of course, you know, from there you'll be able to get to their website and you'll be able to see what they do. And it's equally relevant that, you know, you need to research the companies before you approach them, in the same way that you would research a publisher to see what they do and what kind of things they publish. You know, you need to research these production companies and find out what kind of things they do, because of course, you know, it's silly to send your, you know, your epic kind of historical novel to, you know, a company that produces daytime TV, for example. You know, they just wouldn't be interested. So you need to do a bit of research in that. And of course, you've got the good old Writers and Artists Yearbook as well. I think the main edition of that, they list a lot of film and TV companies, in the very same way that they list a lot of publishing companies. So you can look in there for various companies, and you can read what they do and whether or not they're open to, you know, receiving unsolicited kind of manuscripts and ideas and stuff. So
Fantastic.
overall, it really is a process that is equally as hard as finding a publisher and an agent, I have to say. I really have to stress that. It's not going to land right in front of you. You have to really commit to it and try hard at it.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. That's some great resources there for people who are interested. So, let's just talk about the 100 stories for Haiti and the 50 stories for Pakistan. So, why did you do that? You know, what's it about and how can people find out about that?
Well, with 100 Stories for Haiti, it was completely a spontaneous idea. About a week after the Haiti earthquake, back in January, I, you know, like everybody else, been seeing all the stuff on the news about what was going on. And of course, you know, I have a daughter now, she's 3 and a half. So, you know, suddenly seeing those images on the TV and having a family of my own now, it just really struck a chord with me. And I just kept thinking, you know, I want to do something other than just, you know, give fire to the Red Cross. Which of course, you know, that is an enormous help and they really need that. But I really just wanted to do something extra. So it was just a spontaneous idea. I suddenly thought, well, I know an awful lot of writers through Facebook and Twitter and various online forums. And I thought, well, I wonder what will happen if I just put out a message saying, I want to do an anthology. Who wants to get involved? So it started out on Twitter. I just sent out a tweet connected to like a YouTube video. And then it just took off from there. Within a day, I think I had probably, well over 100 people had contacted me saying, can I send you a story? Can I help? Can I do this? And then within about 72 hours, I think I had, because I set up like a free Gmail account for people to send their stories. And I think within about 72 hours, I already had about 300 stories.
Wow.
And I purposely set the deadline for stories quite quick. It was like, I think overall it was about a week to 10 days. So by the end of the 10 days, I think we had over 600 stories from writers all over the world for that one. And that was completely, that was totally using Facebook and Twitter and just online forums. I think we somewhere along the way, we did write some press releases and stuff. But I think most of the contact I had was through social media. So that's kind of how that one got going. And then with 50 Stories for Pakistan, which I started, so it's about 4 or 5 weeks ago now. That was similar, and that whole disaster happened, and of course, a little bit longer before I decided to do something or try and start a project. And to be honest, I was kind of expecting somebody else to start a project. I thought somebody's bound to start some kind of book project for this. And I didn't really see anyone do it. There might be some, I don't know, but there was certainly none that I'd heard of. So, and then somebody on a writer I know on Facebook actually said, "Well, are you going to start a project for this?" And I literally kind of went, "Yeah, okay." And I just posted it on Facebook. All right, let's go. Let's start a project. And then yeah, and we now have a book. It's going to be published, all being well, fingers crossed. It's going to be published on the 28th of October as a print and an ebook as well.
And is that through Amazon.com or through a different site?
Well, this time around, I've decided to do it a little bit more independently with 100 Stories for Haiti. We did I partnered up with Bridgehouse Publishing, and they actually published the print version of it, which is available on Amazon and all the different websites, and also you can order it directly through Bridgehouse Publishing as well. And to be honest, that's the best way to go because money goes to charity that way. But what I found with that was once we registered the book on Amazon and Waterstones and of course Barnes and Noble and all that kind of stuff, the majority of the cover price actually goes to them. So very, very little money ends up going to charity because, of course, Amazon want to take, 60, 70% of your cover price. So do Barnes and Noble and all the other ones. And they also treated it very badly. I mean, if you go to Amazon.com now and you look for 100 Stories for Haiti, it's actually listed, it's a print-on-demand book. So when you order it, a copy is printed and it's sent to you through Lightning Source. But when you go to Amazon.com, they actually list it as very hard to get or almost out of print. And I think this is because they just treated it really, really badly. So this time around with 50 Stories for Pakistan, I just thought, well, I don't want to go down that route. I want to see what happens if we try and do it more directly. So this time around, the print version at least is going to be done through blurb.com. And I really think that's a really thriving little community if you go to the website. And the other thing that really appealed to me as well was they actually already have a scheme called Books for Good. So if you register your book as a book for good that you're going to donate the proceeds to charity, Blurb will actually donate $1 per sale back to the cause.
Oh, that's
And I
great.
just thought, and I immediately just thought, this is a book printing company that's really, they've got a thriving little community. They're willing to give back, and also, To be able to put a book together with blurb.com is actually a lot more easier than I say with CreateSpace or Lulu or even Enlightensource actually. They even provide you with software you can download. They've got some software called Booksmart. So you can actually kind of put your own book together using their very special piece of software. And they just make the whole process a lot easier, I think.
Well, that's fantastic. So, just to point out there, you said you started this 5 weeks ago, and your book's going to be available on the 28th of October. So that's next week, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're at the moment. My hope is that is I'm going to be able to, I'm going to be able to make it available on the 28th. But to be honest, what I'm waiting for now is the first proof copy in the post. So once I get back from my little trip up to Skjern, which is where I am at the moment in Denmark, that copy should be waiting for me when I get home, and then I just need to open the envelope and check the copy, make sure everything looks the way it should. And I just need to go online and click a few boxes, and it's available for sale on blurb.com. But of course, if there are any technical issues, then I need to solve those before it can go on sale properly as a paperback.
But it's really amazingly fast these days, how fast you can come up with a project and publish a book, isn't it?
I mean, it is. I really started to feel, as a I know a lot of writers online who are kind of sitting on their manuscripts. They're waiting for that agent or that publisher to come along and kind of open doors for them. And I keep saying, I often say to them, "What are you waiting for? It's all there. You can publish your book. You might not. You probably won't make any money at it, but all the technology is there for you to start making your stuff available. There's really no excuse not to just get on with it. The rent will come if you can find an audience and build up enough momentum behind what you're doing. It really is. I don't think there's no excuses for writers out there not to just get on with it and start getting their work out there.
That's fantastic. That's exactly my message as well. So thank you for that. That's a great way to end
That's
because
all right.
we are out of time. So where can people find you online, and where can they buy 50 Stories for Pakistan?
Well, the main place to find me online is at bigbadmedia.com. That's kind of my micro publishing website. And of course, all the books I'm going to be publishing, there's information about them on there and when they're going to be available and stuff. You can find me on Twitter as well. I'm at Greg McQueen. And I'm on Facebook as well. I'm just under my name, Greg McQueen. So you can just hook up with me there.
Fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Greg. That was really interesting.
It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.